Amen. When Promise was there describing somebody, I thought, is she talking about me? Is that my spiritual CV? Lord, I thank you. Praise the Lord. When she started with the H word, I thought she was going to say, I like her sense of humor. Humility, praise the Lord. God bless you. So guys, wow. I just really want to say thank you, my gang leaders, for entrusting me and Vanessa with tonight's service, the last one of this year. Thank you, Denise and Richard, and also greetings to your mum as well. Welcome, Sister Elaine. And also, I also want to say thank you to my pastors, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. It's been a journey. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so before I get on with tonight, I just want to pray in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, I just thank you. I really do thank you, God, because, God, it's because of you that I'm standing here today. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I just pray that you will just speak. Speak boldly, Heavenly Father. Speak into people's lives. Lord God, we ask that there would be breakthroughs, Heavenly Father. Lord God, let people see the blessings coming for them in 2014. Thank you, Lord God, for that ministration, that this is just the beginning, Heavenly Father, and you have so much more for us. Lord, we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tonight's theme is boldness, blessing, and breakthrough. Boldness, blessing, and breakthrough. Tonight, you should hear from me a bit about all of those, but specifically about boldness. Has everybody here played Guess Who before? Yeah? Guess Who? Guess Who is what it says in the title. Guess Who? Okay, so tonight, what I'm going to ask you to do is guess who I am. Tonight I want to introduce myself to you. I'm a young man who had the boldness to step out from amongst my peers. Gang, you could take a leaf out of my book. I am a leader and a warrior for my generation. Who am I? Incorrect. I'm a character that people probably don't spend too much time considering. That's why I'm not David. Maybe because I am somebody that has been overshadowed by my father's behavior. Who am I? Woo! Everybody always has a lot to say about my best friend, but do they ever consider me? Who am I? Jonathan, I think I heard it from the back first. Brother Gary, well done. Praise the Lord. So I am Jonathan. So if we had time tonight, we could go through the spiritual CV of Jonathan. But tonight, time permitting, and I forgot I was supposed to put on my stopwatch. You know, we're on strict orders up here. Praise the Lord. So tonight, all we're going to be looking at in Jonathan's CV is his achievements or one of the highlights of his career. So if you could turn in your Bibles with me, it's from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19, I'm going to start. And I'm just going to start reading because there's a little bit that I wish to get through. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. There were no blacksmiths at all in the land of Israel in those days, for the Philistines wouldn't allow them for fear of their making swords and spears for the Hebrews. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, discs, axes, or sickles, they had to take them to a Philistine blacksmith. Jumping to verse 22. So there was not a single sword or spear in the entire army of Israel that day, except for Saul's and Jonathan's. The mountain pass at Michmash had meanwhile been secured by a contingent of the Philistine army. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Verses 1 to 7. A day or so later, Prince Jonathan said to his young bodyguard, "Come on, let's cross the valley to the garrison of the Philistines." But he didn't tell his father that he was leaving. Saul and his 600 men were camped at the edge of Gibeah around the pomegranate tree at Migron. Among his men was Ahijah the priest, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, Ahitub was the son of Phinehas and the grandson of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh. No one realized that Jonathan had gone. To reach the Philistine garrison, Jonathan had to go over a narrow pass between two rocky crags, which had been named Bozez and Senna. The crag on the north was in front of Michmash, and the southern one was in front of Geba. "Yes, let's go across to those heathen," Jonathan had said to his bodyguard. "Perhaps the Lord will do a miracle for us, for it makes no difference to him how many enemy troops there are." "Fine," the youth replied. "Do as you think best. I'm with you heart and soul, whatever you decide." Amen. So if you go on to read that whole chapter, which I would encourage you to do, you see that Jonathan had the boldness to step out of the situation that the Israelites had found themselves in. And he approached God and he said, "Well, you know, God, if you can do something here using us, then we're prepared to go." And you'll see that what he did was then he went into the Philistines' garrison and he got a breakthrough and he basically destroyed the Philistines. And other people took encouragement from that. But what I want to focus on, first of all, tonight is for you to note that in the scriptures we read, we noticed that Jonathan and Saul were the only ones who were carrying a sword. It said that in the Bible that there was no other single sword or spear other than theirs. Because basically the Philistines had ensured that the blacksmiths couldn't help the Israelites to make such weaponry. So the result of that would be keeping their enemies in check. Now, we need to translate that to ourselves as gang here this evening. The sword represents the word of God. And we know that from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And what will happen to you, gang, is that the Philistines, represented by the enemy, will try to keep you away from the word of God. So that in your own every single day life, you will be unable to withstand trials and temptations and the things that we as everyday Christians will find ourselves going through. And what the enemy is trying to do is to keep you away from your breakthroughs and your blessings. Okay, so if he keeps your sword blunt, then he makes sure that you keep away from the breakthroughs and the blessings. The fact is, every warrior needs a sword. And that's not just the gang warriors, that's the gang girls too. Every warrior needs a sword. And that sword, it needs to be sharp. So tonight, gang, we are tonight at the right place and here in the right time. But we need to understand that our purpose for being part of the gang ministry is not a selfish or an intrinsic one, i.e. all about yourself. Some of us may have come tonight seeing that heading, boldness, blessing, breakthrough, and you've come to the altars, "Oh Lord, where's my blessing? Oh Lord, I need a breakthrough." Gang, our ministry is about reaching out to others. Jonathan and Saul were the only ones within the Israelites people that had swords. So if deliverance from the Philistines was going to come from anyone, it was going to come from them. And we need to understand that we are the ones carrying the sword. Basically, where our generation is being overtaken by darkness, if you look at children now, the age of enlightenment, world's enlightenment is so much younger. And basically, the enemy is trying to really hit our generation with darkness, okay? But God is still saying, "My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path." That's Psalm 119, verse 105. He also says at Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By reading his word and following its rules." So the question to you this evening, is your sword sharp? How is your word life? Secondly, we can see from this account that our hero Jonathan was ready to wield his sword. But by contrast, when you look at his father Saul, Saul had a sword, but he was failing to use it for the right purpose and the right purposes. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, and again, you need to do that in your own time, you'll note that at verse 3 of that chapter, Jonathan had already gone out and issued a battle cry. He'd already gone out and defeated the Philistines in a previous battle. But meanwhile, you'll note that Saul, his father, was busy killing lambs and goats and bulls, okay, for burnt sacrifices. And the reason why he'd done that was to save face amongst the people. Samuel the prophet has said that he was coming in 7 days, but then hadn't turned up yet. And in order to fast track the hand of God, Saul had offered up sacrifices that had should have been offered up by Samuel. And then he said, when Samuel said, "What on earth are you doing?" He said, "Well, the people were scattering. They were running away from us. And we hadn't even sought the Lord yet." How many of you here know that God moves on his own timing? He moves on his own schedule. Okay. Can those who are waiting on the Lord say amen? Amen. Amen, brothers and sisters. You can't fast track a blessing from God. That's called what we call manufacturing. Manufacturing a blessing. And when you manufacture a blessing, trust me, there's going to be some defects, okay? And there could be some serious defects, okay? So what you can be sure of is that when the Lord has put together your blessing, it says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That's Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. For some of us here tonight, we've been wielding our swords for the wrong reasons. For example, peer pressure, like what Saul was experiencing. Sometimes as young people, we get confused and we follow the tide. We follow our peers. We look at what everybody else is doing and think, yes, this must be the plan and the purpose for my own life. Saul would have surely said in that situation when he offered up those sacrifices, but there isn't anything wrong in what I'm doing. I mean, I'm offering it up to God. But from that chapter comes that scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. Discover the plan of God for your own life and hold fast to that. Stand fast in that. Stick to that. Some of us, we also wield our swords for selfish purposes. Lord, you said in your word, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right to Z, and we can quote scripture back to God. But really, that translates in heaven's ears. God, give me this. God, give me that. Lord, you owe me this. Lord, you owe me that. And it's all about ourselves. Jonathan, our bold hero, wasn't concerned with making a name for himself. Some of us that desire ministry need to be careful and forewarned about that. The battle that he had previously fought was actually attributed to his father when you look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. All he was concerned about was with destroying the enemy. He didn't care about who got the bragging rights. Looking at Jonathan's tactics as we're coming into land, you'll notice from the first verse of chapter 14, he didn't tell his father where he was going. Guaranteed, Saul would have tried to stop him for fear for his life for his firstborn heir. Saul would have looked at the enormity of the situation that his son was about to face. And when you read through those scriptures, you'll realize that the Israelites had gone from 3,000 men to 600 men, because when the Philistines had come out in their great number of 36,000, it said that they'd run off and crawled into their holes and their caves and different kinds of hiding tactics and maneuvers that they'd done. So they were reduced to 600 men. Saul would have been the voice of doubt, which sometimes sneaks into our minds and tries to oppose us. And tries to oppose the plan that God has for you. Remember, God says that his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Saul was an experienced military chief. He would have looked at the situation that Jonathan was about to face, and he would have said, do you know what? That's a kamikaze Taliban mission right there. You might as well just kill yourself already. How could Jonathan just go with his bodyguard, his armor bearer, and face these Philistines? Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus was speaking to the people, and he said, he looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, the dreams, the visions, the plans that God has given you, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with him. Gang, we need to fan the flames of our faith and stay away from the characters or voices of doubt. Sometimes it might be a voice, sometimes it might be an actual individual. Be careful of the company that you keep. If you notice from that scripture, the company that Jonathan was keeping was somebody who was enthusiastic. He said, come on, I'm going to go with you. I'm with you heart and soul, whatever you decide. We as gang, we need to step out of our comfort zones, and sometimes it will be completely into the unknown, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready to declare that it makes no difference to God how big this issue is, how many enemy troops there are camped out against us, but our God is able. You'll also note from verse 1, Jonathan didn't go it alone. He went with his armor bearer. And that should trigger in your minds all these last preachings that you've heard the last month from Pastor Paul when he was preaching about David and his mighty men. We are not lone rangers in gang. Our anointing is of greater impact when we lock arms. When we lock arms together and we pray together, when we fast together, when we do events together. It says in the Bible, one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. Even though Jonathan and his armor bearer weren't many in number, God brought them the victory. And it said that they took out, if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, I'll just take my time to find it. Verse 13. It's that they took them out one by one by one. If you're struggling as a Christian here today, and if you're experiencing warfare, what you need to do is you need to connect with another spirit-filled individual that can stand back to back with you and help you to fight against the enemy. I can't encourage you enough about that. Seriously, you need to have good, strong Christian friends. Lastly, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 17, we understand that the enemy that the Israelites were facing were not small in number. They had come out in full force in three companies along three borders. And I'll just read that for you. Three companies of raiders soon left the camp of the Philistines. One went towards Ophrah in the land of Shual. Another went to Beth Horon. And the third moved towards the border above the valley of Zeboim near the desert. I.e., they were coming at the Israelites in different directions. There's likely to be times in our lives when basically the enemy throws everything that he has at you, and it's coming at you in different directions. And it's like the enemy is there standing saying, you know what, this is your death certificate right here. Spiritually, physically, I will take you out. But what should our response be? This is when we need to wield our sword. This is when we need to say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though he comes at me in one way, he shall flee in seven. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. People, we need to wield our swords. God's encouragement to us is this. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard against him. Jonathan was raised up as a standard against the Philistines. The question to you, gang, is, are you a Jonathan of your generation? Amen. Father, Lord, Almighty God, we just thank you for your word to us this evening. Father God, I pray that it will settle in our hearts in good soil, Heavenly Father. Almighty God, I pray that you will show us, Heavenly Father, that when we step out in boldness, you are right already in front of us. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for those that gather around us and are ready to stand and fight alongside. Father, Lord, we thank you because we cannot be taken out by the enemy. You are our God. You said, with whom can we compare you? God, there is nobody like you. You said, is your hand shortened to save? Lord, we know that it's not. We know that it's not shriveled. We know that it's not crippled. Our God is able. Father, Lord God, I pray that you help us, Lord God, for 2014, ready to sharpen our swords, to get into your words, Heavenly Father. God, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. God, let us press our ears to your mouth, Heavenly Father. Speak right into our spirits, Almighty God, and stir us up. God, set that fire in our souls, Heavenly Father, that we come after you with everything that we've got. Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know that the breakthrough is coming in our situation. You are Baal Perazim, Lord of the breakthrough. Father, Lord God, we thank you. We stand and declare that we are your people and you are our God. Lord God, come and have your way this evening, Heavenly Father. Speak to us. Speak to us again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.